Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. What up, what up, what up? What the fuck is up, my people?
What up?
This is episode 298.
298.
Yes, sir. Of the most consistent podcast in the area.
Give me a hell yeah.
Logical sense. This is your boy, Buzz B.
And over here, it's your boy, JC No Honey. It's
There we go. First off,
do that again. It went a little sketchy. Once again, don't forget your boy JC No Honey.
There you go. Alrighty. First off, happy early birthday. I'm gonna say that first.
Thank you.
And happy Father's Day. I get to say that to you now.
Appreciate it. A
round of applause.
A little reverse, but I'll take it.
You know, I know. Well, what'd you say?
I said a little reverse, but I'll take it.
I know. I just thought the birthday was better. So, you know.
Yeah, Father's Day means a little something more, though. I've had 34 birthdays. This is my first Father's Day.
Yeah, true. That's true. I don't know. Maybe because it's fucked up. Funny story. I was asking my homegirl if she wanted to go to the movies a few days before Father's Day. She was like, no, I got stuff to do. Da, 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 da. I was like, oh, well, what about Sunday? We can go to the movies on Sunday. She was like, it's Father's Day. I was like, so? And then I was like, and then I had to think about it. I was like, oh, you have a dad. My bad. Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, Father's Day, though. Father's Day was great. Got to spend all day with both Britt and Giannis. They both took me to a Brazilian steakhouse.
Ooh. I got to
chow down on that. And then that was really Giannis's first outing in public. And that was funny. He was just so enamored, just like, he's already observant, so then he's like looking around like, who are all these people? What's going on? And he actually crept out because, you know, he's only a month old, but in terms of like creeping out for a month-year-old, he's like looking around his stroller, like trying to like see what's going down. But he was chill the entire almost hour and a half. Like he took everything in. So that was cool. And then came back in, all took a family nap. Shout out to a photographer out in Oakland, Jamal Davis. I want to give him a round of applause. He did his third or his fourth annual free photo shoot for Black Fathers here in the Bay Area.
And nice.
So he did that not on Father's Day or the weekend of, but the previous weekend. And all of our photos were ready in time for Father's Day. So I posted that up too. And yeah, no, I was just
looking fresh. You're looking nice and fresh, and you're looking like you look like Pastor JC, like Pastor James. That's what you look like.
Yeah. what was it? Yeah, Britt had bought Giannis a suit and a bow tie onesie. So his whole outfit was just a onesie, and his pants, the blue pants matched the suit that I had. Shout out to Jerome, because that was the suit that he got all the groomsmen for his wedding. And I was this is perfect. This is a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
And so, so we did that. So again, I want another round of applause. Shouts out to Jamal Davis, photographer out there in Oakland, doing good things for the community. That was dope too. I can't even count how many brothers came out with their kids. That was awesome to see.
That's what's up, man. Proud of you being a dad and shit, taking care of your kids. That's what's up, man. My Father's Day.
Did you just congratulate me on being a dad?
Yeah.
No, it's like the Boondocks.
Just
congratulate me for learning how to read.
There is powerful niggardry at work here.
Nigga, I was here. You having fun?
Yeah.
That shit's still the funniest one. Oh, right. Shit, man.
Yeah, we had Juneteenth.
Freedom! I worked on Juneteenth, but it was time and a half, so.
I slept on Juneteenth.
Oof, that was great. Freedom! Yeah, barbecue or nothing?
Hell no, I slept. I had a busy Father's Day. And then trying to go back out with a newborn.
And then yeah,
they're trying to go out with a newborn. Yeah, you know, there's true, no way you go out with a newborn.
True. Yeah, I worked on Juneteenth. It should be slavery, but it's time and a half. So I was like, oh, time and a half. And I got off early. I'm like, oh, shit. Came home, cooked some stuff, then took a nap. It was the most. It was the best nap ever.
Damn, white people wish you happy Juneteenth.
No, but one white person said, "What's up, my brother?" and dapped me up, and it was right in front of another black person, and we just both stopped and looked at each other like, "Did that just happen?"
Somebody did this.
Nah, but seriously, what is it with white people calling black folks brother? Like, amazing, what's up, brother? No, like, what's up, brother? It just dapped me up. Like, how you doing, my brother? And it's like every time I hear that, Major Payne's voice comes in my head, and I just hear, I am not your damn brother. Not gonna do 20 squats right now.
Yeah, that was good input. Yeah, I stayed inside, so I didn't have to. I didn't go out back house. Oh, no, that's a lie. I went outside real quick Monday morning to go get my Nike shoes because FedEx did some crazy drop where they were supposed to be on Friday. And then they were like, oh, we tried to get in your building. And I was like, no, you didn't, because you didn't call me. But anyway, so Monday I went to go pick up my shoes from FedEx, and I came back, and I didn't go back outside until I think Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday this week.
It's so wild to me how Juneteenth is like that holiday now. It's just, you know, years ago before the pandemic, no one knew what the fuck Juneteenth was. There was Juneteenth events out here in San Jose all the damn time, but barely anyone would show up. Then the pandemic happened, a black dude got killed, Juneteenth happened, and all of a sudden, freedom and time and a half. So shout out to that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shit's been going on since we've been gone, but I wish we had music to cue up, like, you know, Celine Dion and shit.
Yeah.
I should not laugh at this. But white people.
And I've been waiting, baby.
This reaches a point where Britt tried to tell me, she said, this is what happens when you have too much money. I said, no, it doesn't. This is what happens when you think you're invincible as a result of having too much money. I know people that got too much money and they go home and they read a book. And
they just sit
there. Yeah, and they're boring with a lot of money. Yeah.
Well, go to parties. How about like go to a party, like a little nice brunch party, you know? Or a fashion show.
What was it? A British? I don't even know what that is. I don't know these guys' names, but four men and one of the men's son decided that they wanted to go visit the Titanic.
Yeah.
They wanted to go visit the Titanic.
Like you want to visit a graveyard. An ocean graveyard. That's pretty much what it is. That's what that was. It was an ocean graveyard. Why? Because they can. $250,000 a person to go on this small submarine craft.
Which, when you compare it to the average Joe, yes, I get it. That's a lot of money. Somebody else also broke that down in fractions and basically said that $250,000 to a billionaire is $2.50 out of 10,000. So basically, they just asked the billionaire, hey, you want to go down there basically for $2.50? And of course, he's going to be like, oh, sure. Yeah, that's a deal. That's a bargain.
Now, mind you, I don't know if you read this shit, but they all had to sign a waiver. They all had to sign a waiver. And apparently from the person, like, because the person who went over the craft before, like before all this shit months ago, in the waiver, it mentioned death 3 times. And it was on the first page.
So that's the part that kills me, because you'll take a voyage on a waiver that reads death 3 times, but you lock your doors and you get scared when you go on MLK Boulevard.
I'm good.
Like, you know, that's the type of stuff where, nah, man. So they went out to the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, you gotta talk about the PlayStation controller.
No, we'll get you jumping in. I'm breaking things down.
Okay, my bad.
They went to the Atlantic Ocean into terrain where they were only supposed to go down, I think, 800 meters or something like that. Maybe 800 to 5,000 meters. Mm-hmm. And the Titanic was 3,800 meters down.
like
38,000 meters down.
I think it was more than that. Shit.
And that was no, you're, because we're talking about, I'm talking about meters. That's the
meters. Oh, yeah.
That's the overall worldly calculations. So they said that people are only supposed to go down to save you, and I think that stops at like 5,000 or 8,000. And the Titanic was at 38,000 meters below. So number one, I mean, again, you see death three times on the front page. That should have been a sign right there. Number two, you went down in basically, I can't even describe what that, they went down in a tube.
It was a tube, bro.
That had no electronics in there. There was no fire extinguisher. Like Busby said, they had a $29.99 Xbox PlayStation controller that operated the entire thing. They had no windows, just camera and vibes.
Dude, the controller was something I saw at my dentist when I was a kid for the old PlayStation, like the old PlayStation, like PlayStation 1. And I'm like, what the fuck? Y'all use this? And I was like, and the only way he did,
what kind of shit is that?
And it was only open from the outside. They had to seal it shut. Right. I'm like, this is worth $250,000, and you want to go all the way down there just to look at, just to look for Leonardo DiCaprio's body? Really? Really?
Oh, long story short, that they just concluded that they've been gone for a few days now.
They said the shit imploded.
Yeah,
that's a crappy ass way to go, man. It was even more fucked up. Apparently, I just read a report right before we got on the air that the 19-year-old didn't even want to go. They said he was scared shitless and he only went just to impress his dad.
Well, they said he went for Father's Day.
Oh my god.
I hope when his dad gets up to the pearly gates, all he hears is
somebody did this.
I shouldn't laugh at this shit, man, but that's one of those fuck around and find outs. Like,
no, the death isn't what's, I'm not trying to laugh at the deaths. What's funny is that you think of all the ways that they could have easily spent that $250,000 and walked away.
You feel me? What?
Like, you could have paid several WNBA players to keep their jobs instead of getting cut.
Could have paid me shit. You could play for fucking a luxurious first class to fly to Beijing for $250,000.
You could have bought five meals at Five Guys for $250,000.
You could have took me to WrestleMania ringside.
That wouldn't have been $250,000.
You never know.
That wouldn't have been $250,000.
Okay, how about the Super Bowl?
I don't even think that would have been $250,000.
Just to, okay, how about to like bring your whole family and shit?
I mean, sure, I still think that's within range. I mean, there's just so much you could have done with $250,000.
I'm just saying, there's so much shit you could do for a quarter of $1 million, but instead you want to go into a small team.
And I'm not even focused on the fact like, oh my god, it's $250,000 because it's compared to the average Joe. I'm talking about $250,000, you could have walked away.
Shit.
That was the objective, was to walk away. But there's also the conspiracy theorist in me. I don't even think they down there. Where's the video footage of somebody hatching that thing and pushing it down there? This sounds like some shit where we gonna make sure the bodies are there underwater, and then we gonna be in Bali because we trying to run away from something. Because I don't put it past, because you got a billionaire and you got three millionaires with an heir to one of those. That's a lot of money floating around, and you can get away with some shit just by saying, yeah, we're going on a submarine, and it's probably not going to come back up because we put death on the front page three times. It's an easy way to transfer, and that would explain why one of the sons went to the Blink-182 concert carefree in the midst of all this shit.
They got hollering at an OnlyFans model and shit. Like, oh, no, I'm stress-free, but no, I'm going to go to this Blink-182 concert and take a selfie.
Give me a hell yeah!
It was the stepson, so he was like, "Shit, let me know when that will comes out." Sucking that's some fucking Succession shit,
right? Now, if they were down there and imploded, rest in peace. However, like I said, if the conspiracy theorist in me is correct, that's a pretty. I'm gonna give you a round of applause. That's a pretty ingenious way to say we're gonna escape out this country tax free. We got the passports ready.
You feel me? He said that shit just went like imploded within itself. So it had, man, oh man, that's a crappy ass way to go. If there's no conspiracy, but if there, man,
now the jokes.
Twitter. Oh my God, that was, man.
I saw somebody say that Mr. Krabs is raising prices by 1,000% when he found out millionaires and a billionaire was coming down there.
One person said they got the full Titanic experience. Yep. They got the full experience. I'm like, God, dude, that's mean.
Somebody said the Titanic killed 1,503 people, and they crossed it out and put 1,508 people.
Dude, Twitter was relentless. was reading some of these, like, I should not laugh at this. And then the funniest one was like, oh, you shouldn't laugh like that. That could be your family down there. And all the black folks were just all like, Twitter said it. Nope. like, the hell? Why the hell would we do that? You can't even pay me to be in there. My mom told me you can't even pay me to be in the fucking Disneyland submarines. What makes you think I'm going to be in that just to go through the Titanic? Like, dude, that's a graveyard. See, James Cameron, he went down there for research because he wanted to make $1 billion. And he did his research on the movies and shit. And he went into the ship that's one of the only ships to go safely all the way down there and shit like that to look at the wreckage.
Right.
Oh man. And then you're not even making a movie. You're just going down there just for vibes.
White man vibes. PlayStation vibes.
PlayStation 1 vibes. Not even the 2. Not even the PlayStation 2. I'm talking PlayStation 1.
Motherfuckers playing with their lives in a stationary tube.
Niggas playing Crash Bandicoot down there. Okay, I'm gonna be cool. I can't. I'm going to jail. Yeah.
Just vibes, man. Just vibes. I don't know. Like, yeah, they're gonna say something imploded, and the Navy gonna come out and be like, "Oh, we heard him a couple days ago.
We heard that shit a few days ago. Oh, that's what that was. Oh,
hey, hold on.
Somebody did this."
That's one of those, like, oh, that's what that was? Yeah, we heard some shit a few days ago. We didn't know what that was. That's what that was. Oh, shit. Our bad. Yeah they did. <It's a kid. laughs> Okay. Shit, that was all damn shame. That's a damn shame. R.I.P. Next.
Yeah, let me not say what I want to say.
You shut up, man. I want to say next subject.
So the submarine will crash now fast, which leads us to Fast 10.
Yeah, good subway. Yeah. Wonder Woman came back, spoiler. In a real submarine. How did she come back? I don't know. Does it matter? No, it does not. My brother, I've been wanting to talk to you about this movie. I said I hated Fast 9, but Fast 10, Part 1, I guess, we are back in business. Gunshots.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Yeah, this one wasn't really feeling too much. I didn't hate it.
Wow.
But this was really? The first one where this was the first one where the villain was Goofy.
But that was, man, Jason Momoa, that was the best villain.
I didn't like his goofiness. Not to like Tyrese can be goofy, but the villain the villain should like look back at the history. The villain's never been goofy.
I know. All the villains been kind of boring. Jason Momoa was like entertaining.
They haven't been boring. No, they haven't been boring. They fit the need.
Who was the most entertaining? Well, I guess Shaw, maybe. And maybe the old boy from the fourth one. But, I like Jason Momoa.
No, who was homeboy that did his dad in the fifth one?
Oh, him.
Here's the thing with Fast. Here's the thing with Fast that makes it work. We don't give a fuck about the villains. Just make them have a villain so that way they're there. I don't really care about the villain. Because in reality, the villain in the fifth one wasn't even there. It was the conflict between him and Hobbs.
Yeah.
And then they met up at the end. But for a villain in the Fast, like, they just can't be goofy like that. I mean, he had his moments that were kind of like, I chuckled, but overall it was just like,
man, he was okay. Too goofy for you. Like, wow, for a fact. But other than the villain, what about the movie itself?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing some off the wall shit. I mean, you know, the Gran Turismo takes down 2 helicopters. I like that. I'm here for that.
No, the one when Dom was like trying to stop a bomb in Greece. Was it Greece? Italy? Whatever. One of those. And then the bomb explodes and it takes out all the cars except for Dom's car.
Right. Well, first of all, he hit it like a pinball.
Yeah. When I was in the theater, I yelled, fuck out of here so many times, but it was just like, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah. And, yeah, like a pinball. And then, well, that was cool too, because Giannis watched it with me. Because by that point, it already come out. And what, after 3 weeks, they were like, yeah, just send this shit to the streaming
service. Put that shit on digital.
Yeah. So he watched it with me, and like, I sat him up the last half an hour. His eyes were just glued to the TV. I don't think he understood what the hell was going on. He was like, all right, Dad, if you like this, I'm cool with it, but I don't think this shit is real. And I was like, no, son, that's not why we watch this. That's not why we watch this at all.
Give me hell, yeah.
Well, the part where Dom looks at his son and says, use the force, son, for family, and jump in the car with me.
Oh, let's talk about this. We gotta talk about this. Because it started off that way, and I was like, I know exactly what's gonna happen at the end. I caught it. He had his 8-year-old son doing the most. He had him sideshowing on a professional level, and I was like, he's like, ah, I did it too fast, and I was like, wait, what? I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even do that in my 30s. Like, what are you talking about? I did it too. You're 8 years old. Where's your homework?
Don't ask questions. Yeah.
And then, yeah, at the end, after Goofy Momoa kidnaps him. Uh-huh. Then it's like, jump into the car, you will.
And then he jump in the car, you will.
And then he unlocked the shit and he distracted him. And then he jumped in and it was like the perfect jump. And he's like, yeah. And they're like, woohoo. And I was like, okay. And then Uncle John Cena. Uncle dead. John Cena turned into, what's his superhero name on the HBO show?
Peacemaker. Peacemaker.
Yeah, he was Peacemaker the entire movie. He was Uncle Peacemaker.
He really was. He really was Peacemaker. Like, he needed to do the dance and shit. But yeah, he was Peacemaker in this shit.
You ever notice how Mia and Brian have 2 kids now? But you ain't seen that damn one of them kids. But Mia is all Auntie of the Year with the little boy. I'm like, why are the kids over there?
And Brian's a stay-at-home dad. Right. All of a sudden.
I was like, wait, so Mia's fighting off everybody, but Brian can't? Like, come on,
I told
man.
You this during the last movie. I told you this. I literally said that to you. And you're like, no, it does make sense.
Yeah, but it made sense until she was watching the boy. And then it was like, well, your kids can't come play with him? Like, but again, it's still vibes. Like, I'm okay with it. It's not the biggest deal. John Cena died, but he's not dead.
No, he ain't dead. When I was in the theater and that shit happened, I was like, oh shit, they killed John Cena. Then I sat and thought about it for like 2 seconds and I was like, he ain't dead. Yeah. Nobody dies in this damn movie. Yeah, Nobody dies in this franchise.
Yeah, Paul Walker been dead for 10 years now. Paul Walker's getting ready to make his extravagant return. In 2 more episodes. Or 3, yeah, whichever one they decide.
And they're going to make him sacrifice himself. And he's really going to die. His character's really going to die in the last movie.
Right.
Watch. Oh, God.
It was good shit. I liked it.
The cliffhanger was wild, man. Because I was just like, how the fuck are they going to get out of this? Is he going to use his son as a surfboard? Because that was the first thing I thought about. I'm like, he's going to use his son as a surfboard.
Right.
Oh, did you watch the post-credit scene when The Rock showed up?
Yeah. Why do you ask me if I watch the post credit stuff? Knowing I watch the post credit stuff,
I don't know. Anyway, so yeah,
No. We need to sell this. You need to stop treating me like I'm a casual.
So, well, sometimes I shit. Anyway, so fucking.
You're wrong.
Shut up. Hey, I'm wrong. And anyway, so it got announced that the next. It just announced. I don't know if this is true or not, but the next movie is going to be a spinoff movie with Hobbs and it's gonna feature it's gonna be Hobbs and Jason Momoa's character. So it's gonna be take place in between, I guess, Fast 10 and then I guess Part 2.
I don't know.
11.
No, it's Part 2. It's not Fast 11. This is gonna be
Part 2. It's Fast 11. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you saying it's Fast 10 Part 2. No, it's Fast 11.
That's okay, man. If Vin Diesel calls it Fast 10 Part 2, it's Fast 10 Part 2.
That's not what they're calling it. That's what they're calling it in the meantime because they're trying to think of something else to call it because they're gonna call it F11.
F11? F11 your seatbelts? Yeah. Whatever, Rock had to bend the knee anyway. So
sure did. I told you. You yes. Tried telling me a while ago. You said, "Ooh, that's a bad move on Vin Diesel's part." I said, "Nobody's bigger than Vin Diesel in his own franchise." And you tried to tell me otherwise.
I was talking about Tyrese.
No, you talked about Dwayne the Rock Johnson. And you said, "Oh, that's gonna cost Vin Diesel because how you gonna kick the Rock out?" Well, he learned the hard way.
Well, he sure did.
Black Adam. You ain't bigger than family, trademarked.
You ain't bigger than DC. You ain't bigger than Disney. You ain't bigger than Superman. Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, I can just mention this. Yeah, at least Black Adam made more than The Flash, because The Flash flopped. And you know what's sad? That's
terrible.
No, actually, the movie is not bad at all.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, the shit between Wonder Woman and Batman, that shit looked garbage. You're not going to convince me.
Well, I saw the damn movie. The movie's not... I'm telling you right now, the movie was not bad at all. It's one of those... Damn, that's a damn shame. Because they had a good thing. And yeah, I will say this. The graphics were bad. They were like PS4 bad. I could tell you that. It was like... the graphics were like PlayStation 4 type quality. I'm like, y'all... After I saw Avatar, that's a damn shame. You should know better than that. But...
Speaking of Avatar, I'm caught up on Avatar. When the hell did Carmela Soprano start learning how to fight avatars?
Well, she got herself a gun. She got herself a gun. I forgot she was in that shit. She was in that shit, huh? I was like,
Carmela, what the fuck are you doing here?
You gotta start breathing hard too, like Tony. What the fuck, Carmela?
Yeah. Yeah, that was very confusing. The movie was okay. It just was definitely an hour too long. It did not need to be 3 hours and 13 minutes. This is not The Godfather Part 2. All they did was retell the same damn story again.
Hey man, it made all the fucking money.
Except instead of Jake Sully learning everything by himself, it was the whole family learning everything together. That's all they did.
Now that kid is like damn near in his 20s now because they filmed that shit so long ago.
Yeah.
And apparently Avatar 4 is supposed to come out in 2031. That's the tentative date. 2031 for Avatar 4. I'll probably be in my mid-40s. You'll be in the mid-40s and your son will probably be shit.
Or you skip 3.
No, I'm saying 3, but I'm saying the last Avatar movie, which is Part 4, is supposed to come out in 5.
They cleared a fifth.
Oh, yeah, Part 5. Yeah, Part 5. Well, one of them.
So I'm saying you skip 3 because the 3 and 4 are supposed to come out this decade. So that's not as bad. You're telling me there's going to be 3 movies within 8 years. That's not. See, you keep skipping forward. You're not even realizing what you're saying.
No, I know what I said. I skipped the fucking movie. But anyway, the last movie's supposed to come out in 2031. James Cameron got a plan. He got a dream. Cameron got a dream.
Yeah, that's 3 movies in 8 to 9 years. That's actually on par. It's like Marvel.
Yeah.
What else did I watch? I watched Creed 3.
How'd you feel about that? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they rushed that shit way too fast. Well, I ain't gonna fault them for 3 reasons. First reason, salute to Michael B. Jordan for those boxing cinematography shots. Those were incredible. Number two, it was a directorial debut. And number 3, he nigga gentrified it from Rocky. Rocky wasn't even in it. That was awesome.
What? Yeah. Well, you know why he wasn't in there, right?
I don't care why he wasn't in there. He took it from him. He took a series from the white franchise from the white man. That's awesome.
Well, okay. This is what happened. apparently Sylvester Stallone has beef with one of the producers because he wants the rights to Rocky. It has nothing to do with Michael B. Jordan. It has everything to do with the producers. And he wanted rights to the Rocky name and franchise. And the producer didn't want to give it to him. So Sylvester Stallone was pissed off and said, I don't want nothing to do with this movie. I have all the love for Michael B. Jordan and shit, but I want nothing to do with this franchise. So until that producer gives me my shit back.
I don't really care. He wasn't in it. So I thought that was pretty funny. That's all that mattered to me. I don't care what his reasoning was. How you Rocky, the man of the franchise, and they're like, yeah, no Rocky. I thought that was hilarious.
Not even a mention of his ass either. The only thing I did not like about that movie was the fight, or the last fight, when it went too goofy. It went too cinematic, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, I was cool with that. I just didn't like the fact that Jonathan Majors was, his character was pissed off for him. He was like, you stole my life. And I was like, sir, you pulled a gun out. You didn't steal your life.
Sir, this is a Wendy's. Yeah,
like, you pulled a gun out. What are you talking about? You snuck him out. First of all, you snuck him out.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I was like, all right, that's cool to watch for sure. I get the vibes.
Oh, I saw that movie, The Blackening.
I saw that was funny.
Oh, yeah, it was funny. It's the opposite of it was the funniest opposite of a horror movie ever. It was a slasher movie with black folks. And it was made by from the director of the Barbershop movies. And shit was pretty funny. Hella funny, actually. Yeah, nice. So when that goes on streaming, which is probably in the next few weeks, make sure you watch that.
No, they're saving that for fall because of Halloween. They already came out with the promo for it. They're like coming this fall.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. And then what else is there? Oh, Black Mirror.
Oh, you watch it. Black
now. And I've been waiting, baby.
I knew from jump that Jesse was going to lose his family that way. Right when it happened, I was like, oh, yeah, I know this is going to go, and it's not going to go good. I said,
that ending was fucked up.
I said, either Homeboy is going to go crazy, he's going to do it, or Jesse's character is going to be super jealous, and he's going to do it in a fit of rage. I was like, either way, that family's not going to make it.
And he needs him for the ship. That's why that's why Jesse couldn't kill him in the end, because it's a two-man ship, but he needs him. That was that was a fucked up ending. Just off the ending alone, that was fucked up.
Mm-hmm. And then you had.
But I like that shit though. And then you got Joan is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Selma Hayek was mwah. But that one kind of hit like on the nose a little too much because I could see Netflix doing some shit like that in the near future with people.
Oh man, Streamberry taking over for the 99, the 2000. Streamberry had that one. Streamberry gave Homeboy the award for the next one, for the documentary. And that was the thing too. I'm not saying that little girl deserved to die, but I wasn't sad when she popped her head and she drowned. They could have did a whole boring ass documentary. And she's like, no, we're going to do it on the murderers. And come to find out his parents were the murderers.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was from that HBO show.
I wasn't sad about her. Nah. That's what happened, see?
That's what happened, see? What do you think about the paparazzi one?
Yeah, it's believable.
Yeah, that shit went completely left in the last 15 minutes. I'm like, werewolf? What the fuck? What the hell? I was like, what the hell? What is going on?
I mean, I didn't go that far because my thing was, what was the other movie that we had seen a few years ago? Not Look Who's Talking. The one with Lakeith Stansfield, the one where the director from Oakland did.
Oh, shit. Sorry to bother you.
There you go. They motherfuckers turned into wolves and horse animals and horses. Shit. So I was like, I get it. I ain't gonna hold them.
What was the last one?
Black Mirror was cool.
The demon one. It was six episodes.
No,
there's
five.
One more.
Yeah, that was the fifth one. That was the final one.
Oh, okay.
There were six last season.
Remember the creator said flat out he's been taking his time because life has been kind of marrying his show a little too much. And it's just like, nah, I'm going to take my time, which I don't blame him.
Right.
But yeah. Let's see. What is the show?
I was watching Doug. one night because I had to wake up at 1 a.m. to feed Giannis, and I was watching. And as I'm watching, there's the pilot episode. Mr. Dink, when he brought Doug over because he wanted to show him Bluffington and try to show him where to go get his food. And he had that big ass, expensive ass, prime ass entertainment system. And Mrs. Dink came in and said, "Be careful, dear. You actually might impress somebody." And I was watching that and I said, I immediately rolled over to my partner as she was sleeping. I said, "That's Brit, her sarcastic ass." And then it had me start questioning and wondering, since we're grown now, which Nicktoon cartoon adults do you identify with?
Huh. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the Rugrats, like they're the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Did what's her name? Ah, fuck, what's her name? The black one, the only black one on the show.
Susie.
Yeah, Susie. Yeah, she had a dad, right?
Wow.
No, right, I haven't watched it in so long.
Right after Father's Day. Hey, just shitting on black fathers.
I know, right? I know. I literally forgot. I don't know if he had a single. Yeah, I've never seen the mama.
He did the cartoon.
You right. Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's the cartoon artist.
Yeah, there you go. I wasn't sure. I had them all mixed up. But, yeah, probably Susie's dad, probably. Because he seemed hella chill. What about you?
I identify with a few. Mr. Dink and Doug. Dexter's dad. Dexter's dad was always hands-on with his wife. And then he would always tell Dexter very politely, son, with great rewards comes responsibility. And he wouldn't give him no free game. He just expect him to go do it. And I was like, yeah, that's my type of parenting right there. Just don't ask no questions. Just be grown and do it. Who else is there? Tito from Rocket Power.
Oh, wow. I didn't even watch Rocket Power.
I got free game for days.
Mm.
Let's see. Who else is there?
Nicktoons. What are the fathers? I'm trying to think of all.
I don't even say fathers. I'm just talking about
not fathers. Like, the adults.
Yeah.
For Nicktoons. I don't know. Oh, I remember one with Stu from Rugrats. The part where he's like, "Stu, what you doing? Why are you up so late? Trying to figure out my life." Yep. remember when he had to make that shit for Angelica when she was sick?
Yep.
I remember as a kid, I laughed. But then when I got older, I was just like, I see now. I understand, Stu. I completely understand.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else is there? What are the Nicktoons was popping off? Oh, shit. I identify with Rocco. I am Rocco.
In what way?
Every day I wake up and I'm just like, laundry day is a very dangerous day.
It's a very dangerous day.
Feeding day is a very dangerous day. And feeding is every 4 hours.
Feeding day is a very dangerous day. Oh, man. Oh, shit. This is hilarious.
Yeah, the older I get, I just realized, because I'm trying to get Giannis to... I mean, he don't understand what the hell's going on. He won't understand what the hell's going on for another few months, but I'm trying to get into subconscious right now. So I'm putting on all these cartoons that I grew up on. And as I'm watching, I'm like, huh, I don't identify with the babies anymore or the kids anymore. It's the adults. And I fully get it now. Fully understand.
I fully understand.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's that. So you want to go to sports now?
No, there's some music that dropped.
Oh, yeah, music. Yeah. As we're talking, music has dropped, but Gunna dropped his album.
No. That's done there. Janelle Monáe dropped an album.
I thought you were
excited about this because of 6ix9ine and not the rapper. No blickies.
But the titties.
Yeah.
Always the titties. What do you think about the album?
Yeah, she dropped The Age of Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. I thought it was very lesbian.
Yeah. The opening. Yeah, I liked it too. It's a very it's a very summer album, if that makes any sense.
Right.
You know, you could play this at your, go on.
I say very lesbian only because in comparison to like Sid's music, it's like, mm-hmm. this is a lesbian ass album. Like, oh, okay, I'm lesbian too. You know, just in case women don't know, I like women, you know, back of a lesbian. Now this is a lesbian ass album. This is a lesbian album. So some of the stuff I'm just like, ooh, okay. I can't identify with that, but go ahead and cook. That's just, yeah. But otherwise, I thought it was great. I thought Dochi had a really good feature on Phenomenal. Obviously, the intro with Float set the tone very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Lipstick Lover. I still love that record. That one's really just a smooth, smooth record. The video. Oh, man, if BET Uncut was around, I need the director's cut version, Miss Monet, because, yeah.
Breathe.
Oh, slow down, baby.
That is powerful niggardry at work, Hank.
Hey, I need the vinyl.
Yeah, it's also some vinyl.
Mm-hmm. The Rush was pretty good, too. The one, the Neil Young interlude and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And the last track, A Drive Red, I really like that record. Like the very last track, I really like that one.
Yeah, it's a decent project. I enjoyed it. It's going to be good for summertime. I just thought it was too damn short.
I thought it was the right length. It was right on schedule for me. That's just me, though.
Nah, not for Janelle Monáe. Man, I get it. She's rebranding with this whole, I have my clothes off. I'm embracing my natural skin, my beauty. I get it. But she also comes from the Prince tribe. And, you know, you got to give me at least 40 to 50 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But other than that, it was 50 minutes. It just ended after a while. And I was like, oh, okay. That's cool, I guess.
Let's see who else dropped.
Killer Mike.
And I've been waiting, baby.
Michael! That's what it's called.
Killer Mike dropped his latest album, Michael, executive produced by No ID. I actually liked it. It's very bad. This is actually something that was different for me when listening to Killer Mike. Every single song had bass grooves. I haven't heard that from him. He's had songs, especially on Pledge 3, when it came to, I forget the joint with T.I. and then Burn. Those definitely had those soulful samples, so it had those grooves. This one, it just sounded like live instrumentation with nothing but funk grooves. And I was like, whoa, this is a little bit different. Okay, for sure. I wouldn't be, so we're going about Down by Law, which is, you know, sets the tone. You got the Dungeon. Dungeon Family's all over this project. I already said it. But what I mean by that is with the Dungeon Family, him and CeeLo opened that track up with. We'll dive a little bit more into Killer Mike, Andre 3000. But remember, Future's on there. Future's also Dungeon Family. And then, you know, just the whole atmosphere of Atlanta with this project. It sounded really top tier. And at the same time, it sounded very personal. Like I remember the joint, it was Slummer. Like at the end of that one, I think that was one with Jagged Edge. I think that was at the end when he was talking about, you know, some really personal stuff with
his baby's mom. Baby.
And all that type of stuff, which then goes into the scientists and engineers, which set it up very well. The features, I really didn't have any problem with the features on here. I saw Mozzie out here and I was like, oh, I wonder how that's going to sound. My only issue with the track with Mozzie was the engineering on that track because his vocals didn't seem to go above the sample. So it was kind of like clashing. So I had to kind of play his verse one or two times to hear what I wanted to hear. But other than that, the energy was good.
I really like Young Thug's feature on Run. That was pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's dope.
And
Ty Dolla $ign's on here two times.
Mm-hmm. I like Spaceship Views with Currency and 2 Chainz and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they killed that shit. Like every feature was cool. But when it comes to my opinion about this album, because I remember like before I listened to it, I remember it was getting praised throughout. And I'm like, okay. So I listened to it and It has everything you would want for me to like this album. It has great raps. It has great production. It has great features. It has all the recipes for a great project. But when I listened to it, I felt nothing. And I don't know why I didn't feel nothing for it. And I was just listening to it. And I'm like, this is not like hitting me right. Like, I like the features, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't hitting me for whatever reason. So then I was just listening to the raps. Like, is it because I don't like Killer Mike? And then I was thinking about Killer Mike, and I was listening to his raps. I was listening to his, like, his Black Power shit. But then I started thinking about his political shit and his political stances and the shit he was doing, like, during the election, how he's, like, pro-Bernie Sanders and how he wasn't going to vote and the stupid, dumb shit he's been saying over the years. But then I was like, nah, I don't want to hold that against him. Because, you know, I was like, I don't want to hold that against him. I got to separate that from the rapper. But then he was still saying stuff that was making me kind of look at him sideways, talking about Free Larry Hoover and other stuff. And then I was just like, I don't know. Then I was just like, okay, well, maybe it's this and that. Like, it just wasn't like, it wasn't like grabbing me. And then just recently, like just today, when I was listening to it, I was just like, why isn't this touching? Why isn't this? Why am I not feeling this? And then I thought about it and I'm like, this sounds like a Crit album. This sounds like Big Crit could have made this album.
To me.
And I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I honestly do not know what it is, but this album is not grabbing me like I thought it would grab, like it's grabbing everybody else. And I do not know why.
Nah, I'm not going to call it a Crit. It's not Crit because there's elements missing that would make it Crit. Crit didn't even cross my mind to be a feature on here.
It crossed my mind on a few tracks, but I do not know why this album is not grabbing me. And, you know, I was just trying to like talk it out with you, but I've been trying to talk it out with a lot of people and I just can't get the words out. It's just something about this album is just like, it's just not grabbing me for whatever reason. Now, I do like the features. Don't get me wrong. Andre 3000 killed his feature. That was amazing. You know,
I'm sorry. Here's the thing with me and Andre 3000. Andre 3000 puts some dope features together, but I'm never moved by them. Like recently, I'm just like, okay, it's cool. Because I know he ain't gonna do anything. Like, so it's like, why get excited? Why necessarily get excited for it?
And then Killer Mike had to like do an interview. He was doing an interview. I think he was doing it with Rap Radar or whatever. Or one of those, Sway. He was talking to Sway, and he goes and says that, like Andre 3000 has, he made hella verses, and there's like another verse that we're gonna go out there and he's about to drop an album. And then he literally let the cat out the bag that he was gonna drop an album and shit. So everyone's getting excited. And then 24 hours later, he does a radio interview going, like, yeah, I was high up my ass. There's no album coming. Yeah, you know, if you wanna listen to Andre 3000, listen to my album. And I was just like, nigga. He wasn't high. He was very sober when he said it. He got a phone call. Andre's like, dude, what the fuck you saying, bruh? Shut up. You better take that shit back. And plus, Andre 3000 has said, he said on record to Rick Rubin, I will never forget this, he said he's never going to drop a solo album because he does not have confidence that he's going to carry an album by himself. He has said that out of his own mouth. So... yeah, I just don't understand why people want to put Andre 3000 on their top five. And I tell them, and I ask them why. Because, oh, he's one of the best rappers. I'm like, name me an album that's not called The Love Below. And they can't name me a solo album because it doesn't exist.
Right. Again, he rap his ass off. He's one of the dopest rappers that's ever come out. But every time I just hear a feature and I see people going crazy for it, I'm just like, eh. Okay. All
right. Man. I mean, what was the last dope Andre 3000 like verse that really like amazed you? In your opinion?
I do. With him, Hov, and Jeezy.
Man, I forgot about that one. Last one that impressed me was his Life of the Party verse with Kanye.
That didn't impress me either. All he was doing was just, and again, I'm not taking anything away from him. It was personable.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't anything where I was like, you know, okay, I'm going to take this away. You know what I'm saying? He has the dope pen game. He made great imagery and it was great in that aspect, but it was like, I'm not going to quote this at any given point during my day type deal.
Yeah, I know what you mean on that one. But other than that, yeah, that was cool. And then Gunna dropped his album, A Gift and a Curse, his first album out of, you know, since the allegations came out that, you know, he snitched on Young Thug. And I have really nothing to say about that shit because I'm a civilian. And that's that on that. I just don't understand motherfuckers going online saying, oh, y'all listening to a rat right now. That would never be me. And you live at home with your mom. Don't get it.
Yeah, or you? No, that don't mean much to me because there's killers that live at home with their families. So I ain't tripping off that. But What I don't get is the ratting is off limits. But and I say this with all respect, but what we've learned about King Von after his unfortunate passing, terrorizing your community though, we can rock with that.
We can rock with that. And it's been like documented that his lawyers came out and said that he did not cooperate with the authorities. They've literally said that shit. But you know how social media is, and they all went like, oh no, he ratted. Even though there's no evidence that he did, but it's like, oh no, he ratted. Like, I don't know, but I never really, but when it comes to this album, I never really cared for Gunner's music like that. I like him as a feature. You know, his last album I didn't really care for, but this album, I vibed with it a bit.
He carried it.
He did all by himself. There were no features and he literally let everything off his chest. I fucked with it.
Yeah, he carried this damn project by himself. Back to the Moon is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Rodeo Drive is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did what he did, and the only difference was that nobody could take away the fact that a producer made him. The features are what did it in for him, and he basically showed for 45 minutes. No, this is what I do. It's been me. And it's all me.
And you could tell he was hurt too. You could tell he was hurt because there's no features on there because he felt a lot of his rap friends that he did features with don't fuck with him no more because they all believe that he snitched. Right. And it's just like, I bet he's just looking at these niggas like, are you serious? Like, really? I'm like, okay. Like, you got.
Well, I just want to say, on a personal note, because again, I don't like getting into what I would do and what I wouldn't do because first of all, I'm not in the streets like that. So that don't apply to me. What I will say is that if I looked over to my quote unquote, my gang, my team, my squad, whatever, and you had motherfuckers running to the courtroom passing pills. Yeah, another one sneaking weed up their ass.
You feel me?
Getting beat in jail and getting branded.
You feel me?
If my legal representation is saying that's cap
to the judge.
No, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving it up to you. I'm getting out myself. No.
Yeah.
No. You can have this gang shit. I'm going home.
Yeah, sorry, nigga. I'm trying to go home.
Exactly. Like,
that's what this is, man. I'm going home, and it's my freedom. And now his street reputation is ruined because niggas think he's 6'9", and he's like, wait, what? And it's like you see Lil Durk saying this, you see all these other rappers coming out saying that he's a snitch and shit like that, and it's just so weird just looking at this shit. And I'm like, wait, what? Y'all niggas are weirdos, man. That's how I look at it. Like, y'all niggas are weird, man. This hip hop really is wrestling. Some wrestling shit. But yeah. But as we are talking, when we record next time, Young Thug just dropped his album, Everything Is Everything. Mm-hmm. And it has features with Drake, Lil Uzi, and a few other people. Travis Scott's on there, and just looking on the timeline, apparently he addressed Gunner. And I don't think it goes, I got to listen to it, but, I haven't said nothing, but I guess he addressed him. So next time you hear us, we'll talk about it. But that's that. And let's see, what other music is about to drop? J-Rock is dropping. He's coming out the shadows. He's about to drop a single, Kendrick Lamar revealed a new burner page called JoJo Ruski. And it's just a whole bunch of random ass pictures that he's been posting, behind the scenes shit, home videos and shit. And people are speculating it's probably a build up to a new album. So, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Clips They dropped a new record. I don't know if they dropped it today, but I gotta look. But the record premiered at Pharrell's Louis Vuitton fashion show in Paris. And Pusher sent some sub shots to fucking Jim Jones. Because, you know, Jim Jones feels like he's not a top 50 rapper. And he sent him, from what I listened to, because I'm just going to wait till it fully drops, it was a warning shot. One of the lines he said is like, you ran from the spirit of repossession, pretty much mentioning that Jim Jones' mansion was repossessed. And he said a whole bunch of other shit, but it was a warning shot. Like, I will hurt your feelings. Leave me alone.
Yeah, we'll see what comes out on the rest of the record. I can't go off of I don't want to say a snippet, but I can't go off of something live that I've never heard before. I hear it in my headphones.
I mean, it dropped. I remember like the full track kind of dropped, but I want to hear like the full, you know, title version of it. So that's that. And yeah, that's about it on my end on that one. Like, shout out to Pharrell. He's the whole Louis Vuitton shit, you know.
Shout out to Quake and his Get Rich or Die Trying documentary.
Yes, round of applause for that man. He is the biggest 50 Cent stan that I follow. I followed him for years. He is the biggest 50 Cent stan, and he built his brand from the ground up with diverse diverse mentality. And he said on the 20th anniversary, I'm going to make my own documentary on the creation of Get Rich or Die Trying. And this boy went out and talked to damn near all the producers, from Rock Rider to who else did he talk to?
Red Spider.
He talked to them all. They broke the records down and gave like very like input on what 50 did when he made that album. I hope 50 sees that documentary and he shouts them out, because it was well done. It's 2 hours, you know. But if you're a 50 Cent fan, you will appreciate this shit.
Yeah, that was a good doc. What else we got? Oakland A's, they on their way to Vegas, which means there's an NBA team on their way to Vegas at some point in the next 5 years. That's all I got. Everybody was mad at Mark Davis for taking the Raiders, and Mark Davis was actually trying to stay. It was the A's owner that blocked him from trying to get anything done, and the A's owner was like, all right, we're going to.
And then the Oakland fans, they revolted, and they were saying, sell the team. You know, they showed up there chanting, sell the team, we don't want to leave. And you got Tom Hanks, Oakland native. He said the Warriors left for San Francisco, the Raiders left to Las Vegas, and now the A's are going to be leaving for Las Vegas. Damn you all to hell. Pretty much talking about Oakland. So Oakland ain't going to have shit no more.
Nope.
Oh, well. That's fucked up, sir, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I think it was into sports.
The
Nuggets won their very first championship in team history. Probably the lowest NBA finals ratings, and that's not a slight at them. I'm just speaking.
Shout out to Aaron Gordon.
I sure didn't watch it. Yeah, shout out to Aaron Gordon. San Jose's very own. He secured and got a ring for the city. And I don't know, something about that, or something about the players, besides, you know, just.
They just came up like, the wrong way.
But it's not rubbing me the wrong way. It's just like, you're allowed to celebrate. Like, you sound like robots right now.
Oh, well. Especially Djokovic. Yeah, the job is done. Now I'm going home. Found the damn Terminator.
Yeah, and it's like, damn. Like, you can celebrate this. It's okay. Like, I don't get me wrong. I understand, you know, prioritizing family life and personal life ahead of basketball, but you ain't guaranteed to get this moment again. Like, you celebrate it. Enjoy.
They were celebrating though.
They weren't celebrating. The parade is one thing. I'm talking about like the locker room stuff. Like that man cracked open the bottle and then he walked away. Jokic just walked away.
Yeah, he cracked open. I don't think it sprayed enough. But then I know what you mean. He just wanted to go home.
But even then, like basking it. Like, you guys made it to the ultimate end. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody wants parody in the NBA, but don't, like, this is what you get when you get parody. You get motherfuckers that ain't never been there. They don't know how to act. Nobody wants to see that shit.
I mean, that is kind of the best thing to watch, is when you see them celebrating how drunk they get. Like, just seeing how drunk the players get and shit, that's like the most, that shit's entertaining to me. And during the, in the locker room and in the parade, Aaron Gordon, that man, he celebrated like a pedestrian. That nigga walked out in the fucking, walked out in his shorts into the crowd and shit like that. That's the
stuff I'm talking about. Like, you know, do stuff like that.
That's some shit. Yeah, that was, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, yeah, that's some shit a San Jose dude would do.
But then immediately, immediately NBA news, you know, because NBA, I keep telling you, the NFL, they stand by the shield and the game is what sells the league. Nah, man. Drama sells the NBA. It's amazing.
Oh, amazing, brother.
Yeah, Adam Silver was like, yeah, now the finals are over. Ja Morant suspended 25 fucking games.
Somebody did this.
And even, I still think that was a tap on the wrist.
That was. I thought it was going to be at least more than that. I thought it would be at least 50.
Right.
So, you know, I thought it would be like half the season.
Yeah, he lucked out. He's only going to miss a quarter of the season. And what else took place? Oh, Michael Jordan, he ends up selling the majority ownership of it, of the Hornets for $3 billion, which you give a round of applause for that because he still gets to retain minority ownership. He's just selling his majority stake. Until you actually read the fine linings of what happened, you're like, oh.
What was the fine this linings?
This motherfucker, oh, Tony Soprano.
Oh, really?
So, long story short, during the pandemic, Michael Jordan, he basically went to an investor. They basically went to Wall Street, and Michael Jordan told him, you know, I don't have the $400 million, $500 million to put up. So, of course, nobody's going to tell Michael Jordan no. So, the investor puts up that amount of money. And then it ends up recouping down to $4 billion, right? They lose the money. They lose the money in Wall Street because the pandemic, everything hits, right? So then he goes to his mentor in Chicago. These are Chicago investors. So, of course, they're going to be around Michael Jordan, you know, all that stuff. So the other investor who's worth $32 billion and was smart enough not to get on a submarine, he says, sure, I can, you know, I'll save you guys. I'll cover your asses. So he covers the $4 billion. And then over the course of a few years, the other investor gives him back his, what he, the other investor, what he paid. Now he's looking at MJ like, okay, so now where's the money?
Got to woke up this morning.
Right.
Got yourself a gun.
So he at least gets to retain minority ownership. And I guess the dope part about this, in the buyer group, J. Cole is actually a part of the, he owns a minority share now because he was a part of the buyer group.
So good for him.
It does, in some ways, shape or fashion, it does stay black owned. I just thought when I read that fine print, it was like, oh, you still haven't learned from the 90s.
Chill.
Yeah.
just, man.
And then
see, I had more jokes, but go on.
And then the transaction happened.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
I woke up to Bradley Beal being traded to the Phoenix Suns. I said, for what? They said, Chris Paul. I said, I thought you were waving him last week. This is the shit I be talking about. The Lakers got to give a heart and a leg to get a star player. But any other team, it's like, oh, you got Rice Krispie treats? Oh, we'll take it. That's fine. It's amazing. They kept DeAndre Ayton. Now, I don't know if they're going to flip DeAndre Ayton later to fill out the roster. But as of now, they've got KD, Book, Ayton, and Bradley Beal. And they're going to be able to do what they need to do to fix the rest of that roster out. Now, it's either 136 or 163 million between the four. So it's going to be difficult. But you just look at that. And on paper, I'm not going to call them the favorites to win right now because they're still, I always say, you give the reigning champion the opportunity to come back and see what their moves are. You give them that respect to see if they can do it again. Phoenix is definitely going to be one of those teams that just stays in the mix because it is a lot of firepower. And if worse comes to worse, defensively, if they're not the same, you can really bet. It's different from Dallas Mavericks thinking that they can outshoot you with Luka and Kyrie. The Suns can outshoot you now. So we'll see how that plays out. Then you had Porzingis traded to the Celtics, then not traded to the Celtics, and then traded to the Celtics.
Yeah, that was such a wild ride. When you sent me the text message, I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh. And then I was like, okay. And then, oh. Yeah. Okay.
Originally, there were Porzingis was supposed to go to the Celtics, and then originally Malcolm Brogdon was going to go from the Celtics to the Clippers, but apparently he's got injury that's significant enough where he might not get moved at all this summer. So the Clippers and Celtics are like, well, we ain't got no time because we have to get this deal done because Kristaps has a player option that he has to opt in by midnight. So they went out, and I don't know. There's something about Grizzlies players that are able to get the Celtics' leading defensive player when they're still hot. The same thing happened with Tony Allen after the 2010 finals. They got Tony Allen from the Celtics, and he helped build the culture around Z-Bo, Marc Gasol, and Tayshaun Prince, and Mike Conley. So they went ahead and did the same thing with Marcus Smart. I thought it was a good move for them, considering John Morant's going to be out for 25 games. You're not bringing back Dylan Brooks. So you needed to fill that defensive spot, and they got Marcus Smart, who was – the 2022 Defensive Player of the Year, and they paired him up with Jaren Jackson Jr., who's the 2023 Defensive Player of the Year. So now they house the last two Defensive Player of the Years. It's going to be that you're restoring the filling on Grind City. And then who was the Wizards? That's who it was. The Wizards is just like it's a house sale. We selling everything. Like your mama's on the block, we're going to sell her too, because they didn't even have Chris Paul for 2 days, and all of a sudden Chris Paul is headed to San Francisco with the Golden State Warriors.
Now, you got to pause right there.
What kind of shit is that?
When you sent me that text, I was at work, and I looked at the text, and my jaw dropped. I read it 5 times. I'm like, this ain't real. And I clicked it. I had to click the tweet. And I'm like, this is from Woj. This is real. What?
Yeah. They traded Jordan Poole, which, again, I get the con. It was all about relieving themselves from the contract. I get that. That's fine. But remember, Chris Paul was going to get waived.
Yeah.
Just right before the Bradley Beal deal. And then you send over Jordan Poole, who's not even 25 yet, and can still give you close to 25 at a given night.
You've got to mention
I don't know if you paid attention to the Warriors over the years, but the Warriors play really fast, and Chris Paul plays really slow.
You also got to remember, there's one little part we've got to mention, is that Bob Myers, the GM, stepped down.
Oh, yeah, the Lakers ended that shit. Yeah.
I wanted you to get that shit off.
The Lakers ended all that shit. You got Mike Dunleavy Jr. now. These are the moves he's making.
As soon as I saw that, oh man, Warrior fans were just like, what the fuck? Yep. I had to laugh at that.
My whole Godfather chat full of Warriors fans, and I was laughing. I laughed today.
That shit was hilarious. You could wait. One of them was like, nah, this ain't real.
Yep.
What the fuck? Yeah. Oh shit!
It doesn't make any sense. Like you go from the depth lineup a few years ago to now it's the near death lineup.
You better hope he stays healthy, or not even healthy. I know. He's got a curse around him.
You ever looked at his playoff run like the last 10 years? Every time it gets in the clutch, he gets hurt
at the worst time.
Right.
Literally the worst time. It's like he just, I don't know what kind of voodoo he has around him, but man.
I don't know, man. Them guys had it. They had it right there in their laps. They had the number 2 pick just a few years ago. LaMelo Ball was right there, and they went with James Wiseman. And ever since then, yes, they won the championship two seasons ago they won, but you just look at the, like, no, this ain't going to work. This is hilarious. Yeah. This is funny as hell.
They got rid of Wiseman.
Right. No, this is super funny. I can't wait to watch this shit unfold.
And Draymond decided not to sign his extension, and he is entering as an unrestricted free agent.
No, not his extension. He just didn't opt in to the final year of his
contract. That's what I meant. Yeah, he didn't opt in. So now he's an unrestricted free agent, and that nigga was in Italy partying was it Italy, Paris, one of them. He was in Europe just partying with LeBron. Like, he just couldn't wait to party with LeBron. I mean,
that's over. We can't sign him.
Well, okay, never mind.
You see, I don't know why people are entertaining that. We can't sign him. If you want to keep Rui and you want to keep Austin Reeves, which are definitely the priority, you're not going to be able to sign him. That's why we have to configure ways around D'Lo to try to figure out what a trade possibility would even look like if they bypass going with D'Lo. But we don't even have enough money to save our role players. Where the hell are they going to find $27 million to go get Draymond?
Seriously.
Yeah, no, that's why, like, I don't know. People keep bringing that up. I'm like, we don't have the money for Draymond. What are you talking about?
Those are just not Laker fans. You know, they're not, you know, basketball Laker fans.
It's Lakers
just,
fans, too.
Oh, never mind. See, that's what I get. That's what I get. Just trying to, you know,
There's Lakers fans, too. So I'm like, we're not getting Draymond. Like, I troll with Draymond, but I don't put Draymond in a Lakers jersey. When I'm serious, I put the Photoshop of the guys in the jerseys. I just troll and I just put the pictures of them hanging out in public. That's the funny one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that he is LeBron's biggest stan. That's like, especially when they lost and that nigga went over there and dapped him up and hugged him and shit while Clay and fucking Steph were just like pissed off and sad. That nigga Draymond went over there, smiled and dapped up LeBron and shit. Like, nigga, what?
Yeah, he's trying to get him on the podcast.
Yeah. You would have Drake on the podcast before LeBron.
That might work. Shit,
man. And maybe. And who knows?
And that led into the NBA draft, which is just about complete as we're recording. I waited until the first round was done. And it was pretty interesting how everything maneuvered. You had, of course, Victor Wembanyama. He goes to the San Antonio Spurs, which I've been pissed off ever since the draft lottery commenced.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, we just can't get rid of these motherfuckers. They're always around. They're like roaches. You can't get rid of them. But here we
are. Can't get rid of Popovich.
Exactly.
Cannot get rid of them. Shit.
So they're sticking around. Scoot Henderson is going to Portland, which now puts Dame and the Blazers. Either they're going to make this work or one of them is going to pull the plug in the next 24 hours and say, we're shopping him or I want to trade. That's basically how it's going to looking like it's going to maneuver. But then what I thought was one of two dope transactions that went forward in the draft was you had Amen and Asar Thompson. They're twin brothers, and they went number 4 and number 5. They're both from Oakland. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, area.
So they went to – was it the 4th pick was the Rockets, and the 5th pick was the Pistons. So they went back-to-back. I thought that was cool. And then the second part about that is they're the first set of brothers to go in the top 5 in the same draft. And on top of that, 4 of the first 5 draft picks were all picks that didn't go through the NCAA. I thought that was pretty dope. And that lets the NCAA know, nigga, there's opportunity elsewhere. You can come, you can come get paid over here and you can still end up in it as a lottery pick.
Okay.
Yeah, the Lakers at number 17. They took Jalen Hood, Schifino from Indiana. I'm good with it. I like the pick. I've seen highlights of him. Indiana, I didn't watch a lot of college basketball, but I do remember highlights showing that Indiana won a bunch of games they shouldn't have won because of that guy. So we'll see how he plays in with that. And that's all I got with the draft talk.
I saw the Warriors picked up this white boy from Santa Clara University. I saw that shit.
Yeah, he's decent. He was in the transfer portal, so he didn't he didn't do his whole career at Santa Clara. I think he was at Iowa. He was at Iowa before, then he ended up there. So that was we'll see how it plays out for them. They need a lot of shooters around him because you got Chris Paul. Chris Paul is just gonna slow the whole damn game down.
Oh man, that's what it was. I just still can't believe that shit. Some Niner fan told me this is the equivalent of when Sherman showed up to the Niners. You know, just from the fan base reaction and shit. Yep. One other person was going, like, I saw one tweet, they're going like, Trey Jordan Poole. And then they responded to their tweet like months later. No, I didn't mean that way. I'm like, you should have been specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Careful what you wish for.
You got Jordan.
The funny thing about that too is they spent all that year and a half making fun of Lakers fans when it came to Westbrook. And now you look at the adding an older Chris Paul is older than Westbrook, and now they're trying to talk themselves into it. No, we can make this happen. It could work.
Okay. It can happen. Okay. No. It was ironic, Draymond saying that. Nope.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, shit. Football and training camp starts in a month. So, yeah. Can't wait for that. Wow. Shit. I mean, I'm already getting debates with my barber about what we should do with fucking Purdy and Trey Lance and shit. And I'm just like, I'm still on wait and see. So, and you know, you got to deal with Garoppolo. So.
I don't got to deal with shit. I play fantasy football. You got to deal with one team. I have an outlet.
Yeah, true. It's funny. My coworker was telling me I should start doing fantasy. And I was just like, it's like the universe is trying to tell me something and I'm not listening.
That's your fault. Because when you get pissed off when your team lets you down, don't come crying to me.
Well, I won't. I'll go cry to someone else.
No, you do. You come back and you say, and they piss me off. I'm like, I don't care. I won. Them niggas lost. I won.
Them niggas lost. I won. Yeah. Oh, shit, man. Oh, yeah. Before we leave, shout out to Shannon Sharp for resigning from Undisputed.
Yep.
You know? It's wild. He was there for 7 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Time is flying. It doesn't feel like that, but wow, that's wild. Yeah, that's just going to be unwatchable now. Mm-hmm. You know? So hopefully he goes to ESPN. So him and Stephen A. and fucking what's his name? And Michael Irvin? Oh, my God.
See, I said Michael Irvin, then I remembered what the ESPN did to him at the Super Bowl, and I was like, damn, I don't even know if he's going to go back.
True.
Yeah, true. I was like, damn.
But if he does, cool.
If he does, cool. But if not, like, he's like, yep, see, ESPN they blocked their own blessing. And the thing was, Michael Irvin wasn't even guilty. They had all the evidence to show he was the victim in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, but hey, if it's Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp, hey, I don't know. They'll probably agree a lot. But I'll be still entertaining to watch. So shit. Oh man. Anything else?
No, looks like it covers it all.
Yeah, man. A few more hours before your birthday, boy. Mm-hmm. But on that note, this is episode 298.
Yep.
I was really confused at one point. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, this is episode 298 of the most consistent podcast in the The Illogical Sense.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You can always follow us on Twitter. Shout out to Mr. Fab. You can follow me, Mr. Busby, F4, lowercase 08. You can follow us at Theological Sense at Theological SP. You can always follow us on Instagram at Theological Sense. And, of course, on the Facebook, my nickel.
And on social media, you can find me at JCNoHunters. I'm liking paternity leave. It's great. It really be feeling like summer vacation. That's exactly what I needed. Just to bond with my son. And get stuff organized at home. And sleep while y'all motherfuckers go to work.
Must be nice.
It is. Go have a kid. You'll understand.
No, never mind. I'll go to work. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. Nah, I don't work.
I told you, laundry day is a very dangerous day.
Laundry day is a very dangerous day. Yeah, I'm trying to think how we said it. Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
You deal with a newborn stomach that rumbles like pot roast for 10 seconds after he finishes his formula.
Shit.
Exactly. Yeah, must be nice, huh?
Hey, man. I've been watching Arnold movies for the past fucking few days, too. Arnold has a really good filmography of action movies, man. Niggas need to appreciate that, man. I was watching Terminator 2, then fucking Last Action Hero, then Eraser, then End of Days. And I'm like, oh my God, this man doesn't miss.
Nah, he missed.
Get down! Huh?
He missed a lot later on, past the 90s. He missed a lot.
Well, what did he miss? A lot. Well, he did Expendables, but that was like... Arnold is the king of turn off your brain movies. Just turn off your brain and enjoy yourself.
Chill.
Chill. On that note, we out this bitch. Peace.
Late.